So is this on?
Yes.
So welcome, everybody. We'll have another panel with Q&As. We have a few different people based on some of the questions we got yesterday. So why don't we start by letting them introduce themselves?
Yeah, I'm John Peppers. I'm the lead developer on a game called Draw Stickman Epic, and we're available on iOS, Windows 8, and Android so far.
Yep.
Cool. I'm Sandy Duncan. I'm the CEO of a company called Yo-Yo Games. Yo-Yo Games is the home of a product called GameMaker Studio. GameMaker Studio allows fast cross-platform development. It's an IDE, and the platforms we support these days include, I always forget this, we do Windows, Windows OS X on desktop, iOS, Android, Windows Phone 8, and quite importantly as well into that mix, unusual for an IDE, we also do HTML5. All of that's native. It's not with wrappers and stuff. So, we do allow people in that sense to write an iOS game and instantly export that to Windows Phone 8. And we publish some games ourselves to highlight that that's a possibility. And we, within about a day of getting Windows Phone 8 supported, we'd published six of our games on the Windows Phone 8 App Store, so it works.
Hi. My name is Ben Rieg. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft in the developer platform evangelism team. I'll be talking about Windows Phone later today. And so Jaime asked me to sit in on the panel in case there were any Windows Phone questions. I can help with that. I actually am a Windows 8 evangelist, but I spent three years on Windows Phone. So hopefully I can help with some of those questions.
Yep. And Larry, all the questions that are on the screen, we already answered earlier. So I don't know if you have any more from the Twitter stream, but we can start with a few from the room if you want. Go ahead.
My question is around UI and display densities and how we should handle those. I mean, iOS, as I think you know, has built-in sort of tools and support like 2x for images and also the scale factor, which means a lot of it just happens automatically. How is there any equivalent in Windows 8 or across Windows Phone ideally as well?
Yep. So the Windows 8 answer, I'll throw in the answer because it's generic for all of you. The Windows 8 answer is that we do something quite similar to what, in iOS, you do the kind of, here's my image, and there's the 2x. We do something similar. You can give us an image, and then you do what we call the 100, which is 100%, and then you do 140 and 180. So we don't do a 1x and a 2x. We actually do, and those are based on resolutions, and there's a lot of research and market data from millions of users that we said, look, based on DPI, like pixel density and displays and everything, what we want to do is we scale images that are 100, 140, and 180. So for any image that you give us on the platform, you just give us the image and you do 100, 140. You just change the name the way you do with 2x. You add the image, you do the different name, and then you go for it.
Okay.
So, and I'm guessing some of you are using it. I see.
Yeah, and it's worth mentioning that XAML, they
Sabotage.
It's worth mentioning XAML has some really good auto-sizing features. Like if you don't specify a width or a height, it can fill the whole screen. And so I feel like it's a little more flexible even than what iOS gives you as far as auto-resizing controls and so forth. So.
So that's the layout, but images, you still have to do the resolution. And we do that for all of everything. So images in your app, your logo, it's very important because a lot of people, you saw earlier when Sean showed the logo UI, we take all those sizes and we, in fact, the UI very much enforces you. It shows you the things that you're missing and everything else so that you can do it. And then on Windows Phone.
Well, on Windows Phone 7, there wasn't a problem because it was only one scale. It was 800 by 480. In new Windows Phone 8, we do very similar things using similar scaling.
I still see an empty screen. They must be working on it. Somebody throw a question. Yep. Oh, there wasn't anything.
Okay.
Wow. There's no questions in the room?
There's one in the corner there.
Yep.
I want to schedule a program for every 20 minutes comes up or gives an alert. It's running in the background and do an alert in every 20 minutes. How do I do that?
Yep. So the question, well, you heard it on the mic, so I'm used to repeating it now. But So if in Windows 8, you know, if you want to schedule something to happen, like a notifications, what you saw earlier when we talked about the notifications APIs, you can tell it the delay between, you know, when you want the notifications. So earlier when you saw Sean give you the demo of notifications, all he did there was he said, oh, create a notification and show it in 10 seconds because he was showing you a demo. But you can actually use that and say, hey, I want notifications to happen in 20 minutes. And you just give the time, and then you know we'll pop it up for you in 20 minutes. And then if the user clicks on it, then the user will get to, like, they'll actually launch your app and do everything else.
So,
I'm sorry? No, you can tell it, like, so you're saying, so your question is, hey, I want it to happen every 20 minutes. So you can, if the user launches your app, then you can schedule it again. You know, afterwards. So, but there's no one magic like pump something. You know, pump a message every 20 minutes. The user has to be, you know, aware of it and in control of what the experience is looking like. So there's not one API that will do that continuously. For that, you move into a background task. So
you talked about events and gestures and such. Do you abstract some things like select, which is with a finger is a swipe down, with a mouse appears to be right click, things like that? Or do we need to handle those separately to both recognize those as select?
Okay, so the question is if you're having, for example, if you have something in a list box or whatever, list view, grid view, whatever control that has selection, and I show you how the pointer API abstracted all inputs so that it didn't matter where it came from, mouse, pen. We do the exact same thing for the higher level controls. So if you say, hey, you know, call me when item selected, we just call you when somebody click on selection, whether it was a mouse or touch.
But if you're running our own control,
yep.
Then we're having recognized the concept of select. So
yep. So the follow-up is say, hey, what if I was writing my own control? And you saw the pointer APIs, so you would get pointer APIs which already abstract this input source, and you can detect a little bit from, if you wanted to do it from the pointer APIs, but the way you would do what you're trying to do in Windows Store, most likely would be that we have this generic thing called items control, which is where our list view or grid view and everybody else inherits from, and you could use that. That's a lower level SAML control that you can use. And then they will abstract all of that for you, and then you'll just handle select. So make sure you guys ask them a question, too. I've been working for an hour.
You ask, you shall receive. For the gentleman at Yo-Yo Games.
Perfect.
What type of games are you developing with this cross-platform gaming engine? Because one of the challenges that I see is it's great that you can push a key and easily port, but with these, like iOS, for instance, since iOS 5, they've changed some of the rendering engine, some of the things that you can do to make things a little bit more efficient and creative. But implementing that, I can't necessarily use that for Android. I can't necessarily use that for Windows 8. So what are you providing some gaming engine functionality at a certain level and then allowing you to hook on using your own plugins to take advantage of the native function capability?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean,
and your own model object loaders and everything. Okay, so
well,
kind of giving you a commercial here.
You have, thank you. Yeah. I mean, we're an engine, so we abstract a lot of the hardware issues and put that through the engine, right? But GameMaker is extensible. There is a gotcha today, which says that GameMaker is semi-interpreted. We do some of the first phases of I'm not the tech guy, by the way. I'm not the CTO, so I should be careful. But we do a first couple of phases, the three or four phases of a compiler pass. So we do the first couple. We do semantics, and we do a parse tree and stuff. But we don't. After that, we are interpreted today. That causes a problem with writing extensions only on iOS, because Apple have a rule that says you'll only ship one bundle, and you can't have external files. You can save stuff to iOS, but you can't have external references. So it means if you write an extension for GameMaker, today it would fail on iOS. So we haven't implemented the extension mechanism on mobile yet. However, early in the new year, we go fully compiled. We're going to use LLVM, which I think you guys are probably more familiar with than I am. At that point, your extensions will compile with as a single package for iOS. So at that point, we'll release the extension mechanism. So if you want to do something funky, that's fine. But you know, if you think about games, there's really not, unless you want to kind of get really deep and really write an iOS game, which I don't recommend. I think one of the secrets, both as an IDE and I think for you as a developer, is to be thinking cross-platform, whatever the tools you want to use. I don't think you want to go down too far into the idea of doing, you know, Retina's a different thing. But, you know, for any of the deep features that are in iOS 5, my recommendation was probably don't want to explore those too heavily with a game. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, the only thing that we do specific for iOS is Game Center.
We abstract that layer. I mean, we just have a high score API, basically, and if it goes to Game Center, if you're on iOS or whatever. But
yeah, and we do that ourselves. You know, it's very similar, but there's not an equivalent of Game Center on Android, so you kind of have to do something to fill that gap in. So.
Well, some of the Androids, this is not the Android event, I'm sorry, but some of the Android secondary stores, like, I won't even mention the names, they don't deserve it, but they have Game Center-like features as well, so. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Okay. And you are very technical.
I am not. It's a veneer.
He's good at marketing.
When Windows 7, Windows Phone 7 was released, one of the features was the connection with the Xbox. Now that we have the tablet that can run Windows 8, does that extend the Xbox connect a little bit better or not much at all?
So you're asking if there is no developer connectivity between Xbox and the device, but there is a connectivity for the consumer, which we call Smart Glass, and that's available on Windows Phone 7, it's available on Windows Phone 8, it's available on Windows 8, and it's actually available on other platforms as well. So that's the right way to do that. But there's no developer connectivity, or APIs, or SDK, for that matter.
Does everybody know what Smart Glass is? So Smart Glass is one application. It runs on everything. So we have a Windows 8 version, Windows Phone 8, iOS. And it's an application. It's kind of like a remote control where you can integrate with Xbox, and you can control your Xbox, you know, tell it what to play, tell it what to do. But it's an application. It's not an API. So. And then with regards to other integration points, just so that we can highlight, especially because we have game people, for example, with Windows Phone 8, and actually Windows Phone and Windows, we always have, obviously, Xbox Live games. And there's integrations with our backends there, so there's APIs there. So if anybody here is writing, you know, some really, really cool games or has a really, really great idea, so you have an engine here that you can go ask Sandy about, and then you can talk about trying to make it an Xbox Live game, which will give you that Xbox integration from our points and achievements and everything else.
So. My question is regarding performance information and tools in Windows Phone and the new Windows. There's a Windows Performance Index that we're used to seeing. Does that exist on the phone platform?
I'm not sure what you mean by a Windows Performance Index.
Okay,
you
this
mean
is like a way of measuring relative CPU performance, memory performance, et cetera. It's necessary often when writing real-time applications.
Yeah, there's no equivalent to that. There is a whole slew of tools in Visual Studio that you can take advantage of, the profiler, and that will help you to analyze performance of your app, either in an emulator for Windows Phone or on the device. You'll be able to actually see what's going on performance-wise as well as memory-wise, so you can analyze all sorts of things. It's quite helpful. I'm not sure if that's really where you were heading with that.
Well, we write one executable that's run on many different platforms of different capabilities and speeds, so you need to sometimes adjust what you're going to do in the program depending on what the device is capable of.
Yep.
So, Sandy, the question is there a unified structure of measuring performance across platforms that I can write to?
I wouldn't think so. I mean, some of the platforms are remarkably different. The big differentiator we find is that some things don't use the GPU very well. And it's actually a big gotcha for HTML5 rather than for... We're native on all of the platforms. So no, we don't see big differences between devices. I mean, you've got a lot of power in something that's got a more powerful CPU in it, but for games, unless you're doing something incredibly ambitious with thousands of sprites, it'll probably just not run on most devices. It's not a specific answer, but specifically for Windows 8 or Windows Phone 8, the emulator is excellent. I mean, it's not just good, it's excellent. We ported our IDE to the emulator because we didn't have a device at first. And within about 3 hours of having a device, we were running on the device at the same sort of levels we saw in the emulator. So, you know, how long is a piece of string, I think, is that kind of question. But we haven't seen major issues between platforms.
Well, thank you. It's a good answer.
So,
Yeah, I was going to say, our experience, we didn't really have any problems with Windows 8 devices. We saw more issues on Android or if someone had a really old 3GS or something like that. But these new Windows 8 devices are a lot more powerful than stuff in the past.
Did you test on ARM before you shipped ARM?
Actually, it's kind of funny. We released when Windows 8 came out, and so all we had was one slate, was x86. And we never tested it. But it happened to work great and work fine, and you know our game was plenty fast. So
that happens to me a lot. Where I'll email somebody I think it was ARM, who's also using Monogame, and I emailed them and I said, "Hey, you know your performance on ARM is pretty good." And I was looking, I sent them feedback because I look at an app and I work for Microsoft, I care. So I sent them a few tips, and they came back and said, "What do you mean you tested it on ARM?" So a lot of our devices are coming out okay. To go back to your point on a performance index, I would add a couple things in there, which is Windows Phone 8, and Windows Phone from the beginning has always had what we call a chassis spec. So we have minimum specs that all of our OEMs have to enforce for everything. We do something similar for Windows 8. And to go back to Sandy's point, I'll tell you what, one of the things that the Windows Phone 8 team did is that in the past, there was only one phone, 800 by 480, and you know, specific ARM. You know, there was one or two flavors of ARM, and now they're getting into a few more, four form factors and actually memory sizes, right? So, and now what they have is they actually ship multiple emulators. So Windows Phone 8 ships with an emulator that's 512 meg for devices that maybe you would sell in China or something like that. So they're actually doing that work to make sure that you have something that simulates a little bit closer. That said, you know, for us, it's like we feel very comfortable that the hardware spec, especially when you're going native where you have DirectX and GPU and hardware acceleration, even our HTML is hardware accelerated, both on the phone and on Windows. So you shouldn't see a lot of bottlenecks. If you see, you can always email me and we'll funnel you to the right place. But yeah, one standard spec across the world. Sounds like a nice dream. So
I have another question. So the same follow up on the previous question. They talk if we have multi-core in a notebook, and then you want to do emulation on the multi-core Windows Phone. Does the emulator take advantage of that and then show you how it is working, even though they are all from different, CPU manufacturer? Just wondering about that.
Yep. So that's a pretty deep question, so I'll tell you the highest level. Our emulator is pretty much single core. At least in 7.5 in particular. I don't know the 8.0 because they came up with four emulators, and I don't have this. But in a previous one, our emulator was pretty much single core. It did take advantage of GPU. We have a requirement that says, hey, you have to have a DirectX capable card. So if you talk to me offline, we can get you a better answer, but I don't know off the top of my head. And a Windows Phone, it is an emulator, so we're actually emulating. You're not running, ARM there. Remember on Windows x86, we have a simulator that literally remotes desktop onto your machine, so you're taking advantage of your hardware. If you have something very fast, you'll get there. On Windows Phone, we still try to take advantage of some of your hardware, but it is an emulator there.
So. Yeah, I would add that if you are doing Windows Phone, the emulator gets you quite far, but you do want to test on real hardware because, I mean, if you're running the emulator on a Core i7, that's going to give you a different performance pattern than a device that's running a 1.5 gigahertz ARM processor. Yep.
So I guess I have a couple of questions which are sort of related. I was looking at my application last night to see, you know, what from what I learned yesterday, what would be scary about bringing it to Windows 8. And there are really two things. One is OpenGLES. I use that within the context of Windows. And I know you don't want to go into that too deeply here, but maybe just covering if there's anything out there to help would be useful. And then the second would be I use StackMob. I mean, there are lots of other platforms as a service, but they provide a ton of like code that means you don't have to be a server guru to just, you know, get network servicing involved. And what is there to help make that easy? I mean, there's things like ResKit on iOS, and then obviously StackMob and Parse and Kinsey all provide their own sort of SDKs, which are very, very rich. How are you going to get those guys up to speed? And
yep. So if you're running a game, you can use YoYo games.
I'm not.
No. So let me tell you two-part answer. So the OpenGL answer is yes, our answer, or on Windows, we use DirectX. We have people, for example, SharpDX has kind of wrappers around DirectX, so you can use higher-level language. We don't have a map from OpenGL to DirectX. It's something that we constantly look at. So I'll add a check mark, and I think at some point in the near future we're going to get there. There's other projects that are doing some things, but I don't know how good or how trimmed down they would be to make it work on Windows. For example, like the one that I could tell you, and I'm probably going to get fired, but Google has something called Angle, right? So Google runs against OpenGL, or they write against OpenGL, and they don't. When like on Windows, they run on DirectX.
Yeah, it's not,
so they have Angle and similar projects.
It's not compatible with the Windows Store, I think, because they do dynamic compilation and they don't support DirectX 11.
Yep. So
are you going to help them?
Third party is working on OpenGL to DirectX, and actually one announced yesterday availability, which is Nominate.
Okay.
So this is the framework offering OpenGL to DirectX solution. So I can follow up with you on that.
So let me open or let me reword it. And I knew about it, but I hadn't heard of the Windows 8 story there. So they announced, all right, so let me rephrase a little bit what you said. So it's definitely on our list. It's something that we keep looking at from an open source standpoint. And what JC said is, hey, there's third-party library, there's third parties that are going to sell or license some of these, some of these libraries equivalent. He said Memrelay just announced, I know they announced yesterday, their Windows Phone 8. And Windows Phone 8, and you know, the infrastructure now between Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 is the same. So they're both accessing the same DirectX. We have the same DirectX level 9 abstractions where we have 9, 10, and DX11. And, you know, so we have all this very similar APIs, the same platform nowadays. And what I heard you say was Memrelay announced Windows Phone 8 yesterday, and Windows 8 is coming.
I mean, the problem often with those, like Marmalade is very game focused. And my particular application, I want to run GL within a view and not have it take over the whole display, because I want to take advantage of all the UI features that Windows is offering without, you know.
So if you don't mind, talk to me offline. There's probably better references, just like JC knows about Marmalade. I know there's probably 20 Microsoft people working with other people doing it. I can get you a better answer because I don't have a better one. I'm kind of, Unity, YoYo games I've looked at, Monogame, all the higher level frameworks. I haven't gotten into that middle, right in the middle where you're like, hey, I don't want a game framework. I just want the map.
Mm-hmm. We have similar answers for the backend services you mentioned.
Yep.
You know, many of them have SDKs coming for Windows Phone and Windows, so maybe not available. Sometimes it's just community SDKs, but you know, we're working with them, and we like to hear from you what are the ones you believe are really the one you need, because
So to reword what he said is, if you have asked for the third-party languages, then we will, come to talk to us, because StackMov and Sencha and, you know, all of the people that I've heard mentioned in the last day or two, we're constantly talking to them working, like, you know, YoYo is, again, good example of one that's already announced. There's a lot of those that are coming. So just come talk to us, and we'll try to connect you to the right people. I don't have an answer for every single one, but just tell me which ones, and we'll connect you to the right people, because most likely we're talking to them, and we're having discussions. We have, go ahead. We'll take two more questions, because I want to make sure I give them a little time.
Yeah, a comment and then a question. So I think in general, I'm sure there's a roadmap, but whatever Microsoft can do for the developer to make development across the Windows Phone 8, Windows RT, and Windows. Because what Apple did is, for like their AV Foundation, there used to be two different ways for multimedia. There was Qt Kit, and there were some things going on with AV Foundation and iOS. And they hacked away Qt Kit, so you can say, hey, once you've worked hard to design something on iOS, you can use that same code and port it to Mac OS. So general comment in that area. That's just the general synopsis, especially if you're a small indie studio. If I have 20 or 30 people working for me, then I can go ahead and write all these layers of abstractions and wrappers. But if you're 2 to 5 people, you just don't have that type of infrastructure. And I don't know if we've discussed this already. Oh, wait. Because this is for you, Amy. I don't know if we've discussed this already, but for Windows RT and Windows Phone, in terms of instruments, are there tools for frames per second, you know, down at the device level? Not just necessarily for gaming. Everybody wants to talk about, well, OpenGLES and DirectX and all these Direct 11 for gaming, but for UI, that's important too, especially as he recognized, in terms of if you're doing things within the views, what are some of the performance tools in terms of frames per seconds, looking at how things are threaded and elsewhere as it relates, so I can compare this to Xcode?
Yep. So we have a profiler. Like, if you look at Xcode, you know, they have a good profiler. We have a profiler in Visual Studio that you can use. Now, I don't think, like, you know, to be honest, Windows has a very, very rich instrumentation system. So, for example, I use the profiler in Visual Studio a little bit, but I tend to be much more about using Xperf. So there's a lot of tools on Windows that are much lower level, much more, you know, much more meaningful, much more detailed, you know. And so Xperf would be the one that I would use a lot more. It's just standard ETW instrumentation. It's just standard ways of doing things. With regards to performance. So we have a very rich system there. So if you want to talk to me offline, I'll give you a little bit of the tools. Because not only, like, Visual Studio is a little bit higher level. It's a good profiler, but it's higher level. So, no, we need to get Sumit. He's the next presenter. Oh, go ahead and set up, dude.
One last question.
Yeah, we'll take one last question so we can give him 1 minute to close.
So this is just an open question, I guess. On iOS, most of us are, when we say we're mobile developers, because of the way they slice things, it means phone and tablet. In the Windows world so far, we haven't heard about the Windows mobile side yet, but when we're seeing these SDKs, it means tablet and desktop or laptop, but not necessarily the phone part. So, you know, there's a little bit of a sideways gap between the two universes because, you know, we're not everybody's doing Mac desktop development, even though those are kind of converging as well. So I guess your thoughts on whether you're doing mobile versus desktop or mobile versus tablet, because on the iOS side, you know, when you're mobile and tablet. See what I mean?
So you guys are doing...
Yeah, we're... You know, we are working on a Mac port, you know, for the Mac App Store. And I think if you have a game that can be ported to a platform and it's low friction, you might as well do it because you're going to increase your downloads per day. You're going to get higher revenue per day. And, you know, for us, we're using Monogame, and they have a Mac version. They have an iOS version, Android. They even have weird platforms like Raspberry Pi and stuff like that. So,
but specifically when it comes down to phone... and Windows, like, you're working on a phone version. Are you seeing, like, hey, this is pretty seamless to go back and forth?
Using, you know, we target the XNA APIs, and those are available on Windows Phone. And so we can just use standard XNA with Microsoft, or, you know, on these other platforms, we use Monogame.
Yep. So you had it pretty easy, Sandy?
Well, I can talk only for games, which is the same here, right? But first of the proof is in actually what have we done? And everything that we've published on Windows Phone is already also on the Windows 8 store using our IDE. And I just echo the point that you're making, which is if you're using an IDE, you've got a few design issues up front. You've just got to think about where your game might end up, and they're daft things. It's like, am I going portrait or landscape? And that applies to apps too, by the way. And not every game stroke app wants to be able to run in both orientations. And you suddenly find you've decided that, in my case, the game is going to run in a landscape format. Then you put it on a screen. It's great on a notebook, but when it's a desktop, sometimes it just doesn't translate that well. And that's one of the biggest, it's about the only struggle we've had. The only other thing you ever really have to consider is just the user instructions and a few UI issues. We actually abstract the whole UI problem in a similar way to you guys were talking about. We don't even have a multi-touch feature in GameMaker. We just see five mouse events. And so we just track five mice. It's up, and then, of course, we can assign properties to those mouse events, but it's just still five mice. So we don't have any some complicated layer to deal with stuff like that. And we find, for example, we've got games like our PolyShot game, which is an we published as HTML5 games, and hence you suddenly are going into browser with those games. And the biggest problem we've had is where do you fit in the user instructions on where they click on a mouse as opposed to the more natural thing, people will touch a screen. It's just there, they'll prod at it and they'll find the controls, you don't even have to tell them. With a browser-based version or a desktop version, you've generally got to spell out where the controls are, keyboard, mouse, which button. But you know what? I think our own experience doing games has been seamless.
And so that's the game story, and then Ben will give you the app story in an hour.
Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
It's a good segue. I have to close because we got to get back to schedule and submit, but I do want to make sure from a yo-yo guest standpoint, I'm kind of curious, to be honest. I haven't done it recently, so what do they download? You know, these are developers that are, or the last day I've been telling them, oh, go download, just get started, it's free, all this stuff. So what can you tell them there for getting started?
Well, we had a great call with your partner guys the other week when even I didn't realize that we hadn't put Windows 8 support into the free version of GameMaker Studio. And I committed to the Microsoft guys on that call that would happen. I think it has happened yesterday, but nobody told me it actually went out. So the answer is we should have a free version of GameMaker Studio, which allows you to do most of what you'd want to do to get over the first part of the learning curve. And then from there, you can't pay more than $500 if you don't want to. So it's very affordable, but you can get in and discover Studio for free.
And what's the website?
At www, of course, .yoyogames.com.
So that's yoyogames.com. So thank you very much for coming, guys.
Thank you.
Sorry we're cutting this one a little short. We got to get back to submit so we can keep on schedule and get you the phone session later. So we'll have 2 minutes, and then we'll start again.